a broken sky, traced out by the city lights. My world from a mile high, best seat in the house tonight. Touchdown in the coal black top, hold on for the sudden stop. Breathing the familiar shock of confusion and chaos. All those people going somewhere, why have I never
cared? Brandon Heath.
Give me your eyes for just one second. Give me your eyes so I can see everything that I keep missing. Give me your love for humanity.
Asking God to help him see humanity as God sees humanity. Give me your eyes.
Give me your eyes so I can see. Yeah.
Good to have you back speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. on another great Wednesday. Another time for Spiritual Perspectives.
Step out on a busy street, see a girl and our eyes meet. Does her best to smile at me, to hide what's underneath. There's a man just to her right, black suit and a bright red tie. Too ashamed to tell his wife he's out of work, he's buying time. All those people going somewhere, why have I never cared? Give me your eyes for just one.
I'm curious, how often does it happen with us that we see people all around us, and maybe some of the signals are pretty clear, pretty obvious that something's troubling them, and we see but don't see the invisible man, the invisible woman, the invisible child? You know, it can be easy to just kind of go through life and not really noticing what's happening in the lives of others, even again when it's right there in front of our faces. Sometimes it can be easy to miss, and like I've said before, it's so important that when we have something going on in our lives, that if no one approaches us and asks us, hey, you feel like talking about it? Maybe we should be pretty cautious, pretty careful, pretty methodical as we look out amongst ourselves. Maybe we look out and see who's there who we can pull aside and just ask the question, hey, can I talk with you? I know some people don't have time. Some people don't have the desire. Some people don't have the energy. Some people don't have the know-how. They just don't know what to say, how to say it. But some people are at least willing to try. I know it's risky because we are in the process of, you know, trying to do what we can to make life better, right? Some of us are. And so I'm just thinking, maybe we can just be real careful, like I said, because I know there's so many people who cannot be trusted. I know that. You can't just go to anyone and everyone. Even where you worship, you can't just go to anyone. You have to be careful because there are some people who really and truly are looking for an opportunity to get into your business so they can spread your business, even where we worship, even those who are amongst leadership where we worship. I know there are those who may or may not spread our business, but don't really care whether they help us after all is said and done or not. I know that. We have to be careful. We have to be choosy. We have to be selective. But I think that's something that's worth being selective. You may even want to ask around, hey, who have you found to be somebody who you can talk to? That may be a way to get started anyway. But it's not just a matter of us needing to receive help, but sometimes it's a matter of us needing to give help. Be the shoulder to lean on. So I'm just saying, we need to just be aware. And of course, it'll help us if we're living with our eyes wide open, at least most of the time. It may be difficult to do that all the time, but live with our eyes wide open most of the time. And if nothing else, pray, God, will you help this person in the way that this person needs help the most, the way you know this person needs help the most. But at the very least, let's do that. Not live with our eyes closed, but live with them open. You know, we get a chance to take our breaks. We don't have to be on call 24/7. We have those opportunities to take our breaks where we don't have to be dealing with this issue or dealing with that issue. So, you know, the rest of the time, when we're not resting, when we're not relaxing, getting in that bit of recreation, let's go ahead and have our eyes wide open. Not looking for opportunities to gossip, but looking for opportunities to help. Well, we're still talking about pivotal points. And as you know, we've talked about how we have within that broader category of pivotal points, we have pivotal moments, which are often moments of great need, and pivotal people, who are often people whom God raises up to meet the great need. Often these are people who, for one reason or another, are just equipped to rise to the occasion. And certainly they're equipped by God, even though they may have been taking some courses on leadership. Maybe they've worked with a very, very close, dear mentor. Ultimately, God is the one who prepared that person. God is the one who equipped that person to do what God created that person and raised that person up to do. Pivotal points. We're expecting, we're anticipating something major to take place in life. It may be a matter of helping a group of people turn around in their living so that their lifestyle becomes something worth talking about if they were to have a conversation with the citizens in heaven. Not the conversation that they'd have if they were to be able to talk for hours on end with people who are in this earth up to no good. No, a conversation with citizens of heaven, whether holy angels, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They all speak. They all listen. They all act. They're all involved with the affairs of mankind. All of them, all three of them. If you were to have a conversation with them, how would the conversation go? So you have that to think about, but you also have this whole issue of, it could be that God is getting ready to make a major move in behalf of his people. And one of the things that so many of you were able to pick up on, grasp, as we've talked through this whole series on pivotal points, is that very often when God is getting ready to make a major move in the earth, it is because he is getting ready to make a major move against the enemies of his people and behalf of his people. Sometimes he's getting ready to go through a major purging of the earth. We won't see that for a while. But a major purging of the earth took place in Noah's day when God sent the flood. We'll have a major purging, and even more significant purging than that, in the years, maybe decades to come, when God cleanses this earth with fire the next time. But in the meantime, we have had and are having some less monumental cleansings taking place, as God deals with individuals in smaller groups who are constantly opposing him and opposing his people. Some of his people really, really pay a price for following God. But you know what? It's worth it. Especially when you figure that in eternity, the reward that God will give them, us, for being faithful to him, refusing to abandon him, refusing to join forces with the wicked, insisting on staying with God no matter what. Now, truth be told, he's going to be tremendously blessing quite a few of his people, even in this earth, in this life. And then they'll receive an eternal reward in the next life and in the new earth. It's going to be beautiful. It's going to be wonderful. I'm telling you, it is not a cool thing when people who hate God are just constantly hounding his people. But I tell you this, it's not a cool thing when God starts hounding those people either. When they start reaping what they've sown. And we've seen in so many examples in this particular series, God coming against the evil ones for the sake of his people who love him. God fighting against the people who hate him for the sake of the people who love him. And the songs that we have heard, read, songs of praise to God for what he had done to the enemies of God's people. Songs of thanksgiving to God. How about that when we were in Revelation and I read to you where the command came from the throne to praise the Lord God for what he had done to the enemies of God's people. And God had just finished destroying many of the enemies of his people, particularly Babylon, where a lot of the shots are being called. The throne, the command coming from the throne, meaning it was coming from God the Son, the Lord Jesus himself, the Savior. I've been telling you all for quite some time. He is the gentlest person you will ever meet, but he is also the toughest person you will ever meet. You think of the toughest person you can think of. I promise you, that person is nowhere near as tough as the Lord Jesus. God had just finished destroying Babylon, and the Lord Jesus commanded from the throne that all the people should praise God for what he had done. Because in destroying their enemies, he had brought his people peace, safety, stability. That's a good thing. That is always good when God does that. Always. That is always good when God does that. Always. Everything God does is good. And we heard Moses and his sister Miriam sing songs of praise and thanksgiving to God after he had destroyed the Egyptian army in the Red Sea. We heard Hannah's song earlier this year. We heard the song of Deborah the prophetess after God had finished destroying the enemies of his people. We heard the songs that Mary, the mother of Jesus, sang and that Zechariah, her cousin, sang in regards to what God would be doing in the earth in raising up great people, pivotal people, John the Baptist and the Lord Jesus himself. Raising them up to do a great work. The Lord Jesus being not only the Savior, but also deliverer. That is part of what a Savior does. He delivers. And so it's not just a situation wherein the Lord Jesus saves his people from our sins. At some point, he also saves us from our enemies, often by destroying them. And then again, we read in Revelation, just in case you're thinking, well, that's not the way it is now. Fast forward to the end. And the Lord God Almighty destroying the enemies of his people. And it was expected that his people would thank him and praise him for what he had done. Remember when I shared with you, I think it was the seventh chapter of Revelation, that God's people were just being dogged. They were being killed, persecuted, just being dogged. And they asked the question, how long, O sovereign God, O sovereign Lord, faithful and true, before you avenge our blood on those of the earth? And God did not get upset with them for asking him how long before he avenges their blood. But instead, he said, wait just a little while longer. I have some more who are going to die as you have died. And he gave them their white robes. And soon after he gave them their white robes, the destruction of the evil ones began. When we come back, let's be ready to go to Psalm 32 as we wrap up our discussion of pivotal points. So I can see everything that